I'm Evan DeWald, and I am joined by Tara Lindsley, and we are the voices behind the Unpacked podcast. On the Unpacked podcast, one of the things we love to do is talk about life and storytelling, and sometimes life gets messy and vulnerable and all those things. So we have conversations with counselors, with psychologists, with industry leaders, storytellers, and just regular humans that are making a difference in the world.
Yeah, and we're just hoping to grow and reflect and heal together. So you can find our podcast anywhere you subscribe to your podcasts. New episodes come out every Thursday. Enjoy.
Make sure to like and subscribe.
See you there. Hey, Tara.
Hey.
How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
It's a weird day. We're being interviewed today.
Well, yeah, it's a day of being interviewed. Funny, being on other people's podcasts is fun.
Yeah.
I find it fun.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. One podcast host sends us 2 questions for an episode. Another one, 16.
Yeah, it was kind of vastly different.
Very different. I wonder what people experience when they get an email from you.
I know. I kind of wonder that too. We're right in the middle. We definitely don't send 16 questions.
Yeah.
Like 5 to 7
we
usually.
We send 5 to 7 and then we follow none of them.
Pretty much.
Now we follow a few.
Like two.
We almost always ask the story question. We like to know the story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And we, you know, you tell us about what you do or whatever.
Yeah. So two. So 2
questions. Guaranteed.
Guaranteed 2 questions.
Don't ask them in the same way that they're presented usually.
Yeah, very seldom.
But, you know, we have a plan. We're working towards a topic. I have a plan.
You do. You have a plan, and I'm extremely trustworthy. You know, so people just, they see me on the screen and they're right. Like, we can trust this guy, even if he takes us down a rabbit hole, which I inevitably do.
Every time. Yeah, you're right. I wonder what the experience, we should ask our guests what the experience is. Everybody's different though, too, because some people appreciate questions and sometimes we stress people out because we send questions. So it's kind of hard to know what a good experience feels like.
It kind of stresses me out when a guest comes on and they're like, I made 3 pages of notes for today.
Yeah, I really try to tell people you don't have to answer the questions ahead of time.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to let them down when they've done that much work.
Yeah.
And then, like, what if we don't ask the question right?
Or like they don't get to hit all their points because we don't know.
Oh.
Man.
And then they go to bed going, damn it. I didn't say the thing, you know, whatever the thing was that they hoped to say.
Yeah. Do you ever do that when we finish an interview?
No, but I definitely used to do that when I used to have to speak in front of people.
Yeah, I bet.
Be like, man, I meant to say that, this, that, or whatever. I'm doing some public speaking this week.
You are?
Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, yeah, I'm coming. Like, you are? Oh, yeah, I'm going to be there.
Yeah, you'll be really surprised to hear what I have to say.
Really wowed.
Yeah, I think I might be too, since I'm not ready.
Should we play our game?
I will be. We should play our game.
Okay.
I played our game this last week.
Our party game?
Yeah. I went to a party and I worked in a couple of words.
Oh, I love that game.
It is. It's a fun game and it was a fun party.
Yeah.
10-year anniversary of an organization, a nonprofit that I got to help and be a part of starting.
That's so exciting.
Yeah, here in our community. Yeah, it does leadership, youth leadership development and care. They do all kinds of stuff. But
it's a big deal.
Yeah, it's called Synergy, and they really are a community-minded group of people.
I love that.
Yeah.
They're so awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really great. And like special friend, mentor. I'm not even sure what you call Patty to me, but she was a bit of a retirement party for her too. So
that's cool.
Yeah. If you're listening now and you haven't heard the episode with Patty Sproul, it's back in like season 2 or something, probably. I'm guessing. Very good.
I'll link it.
A couple of other eventful things that happened this week.
Okay.
I'm in bed sleeping. And Kristen comes barging into the room and she's like, Pepper found a skunk. We need your help. So I wake up, you know, I'm like literally throw on some pants. Come down onto the, as soon as I hit the main floor of our house, I was like, whoa, did she ever?
Oh, you could tell from inside.
Yes. Oh, yeah. So Kristen's already got Pepper in the sink in the bathroom, you know, giving her a scrub down.
Yeah, because she's tiny.
Yeah, and Otto's in the backyard and he's like, it's there. It's still there. It's still here. So we go out to the backyard with a flashlight and we're trying to chase the skunk out of our backyard.
And just tell me the strategy of how you chase a skunk out of a backyard.
Cautiously and carefully.
Okay.
Yeah, you definitely have to manage your emotions.
You got to be regulated.
Regulated. Highly regulated. And or screaming and waving your arms around in the air.
Cool.
That works too. I guess it could work both ways. You can be calm and regulated, or you can be completely freaking out.
Okay. Is there any like accoutrements that you have? Like, do you have like a flashlight? Yes. Do you have like a shovel? Like, what are you?
Yeah, so we had a flashlight this time. We've chased a few skunks before.
I know. This isn't our first story.
This one was a little bit larger, so it was active. Okay. There was a concern.
Okay.
And it was very evident by the fact that our eyes were watering. It was so
that bad.
Very rich backyard. Very, very rich. Okay. And we have like some, we have chickens back there. We can't have them just hanging.
Well, and Kristen said that the chickens alerted her.
Yeah. The chickens were freaking out. Yeah. And then in the morning.
I love what you say, like, freaking out. And I'm like, they alerted her. Like, they were smart.
Yes. Well, it actually looks like maybe one of them gave its tail in this effort.
Oh, no.
Yeah. In the morning, there was definitely a lot of feathers kicking around there. So anyhow, not sure what happened before we got out there, but that's how we found out. And then we had to take down a piece of fence. And then I held the flashlight and Arnold threw rocks at it.
Until
it ran away. And then once it was running away, then I screamed and waved my arms around like a lunatic until it ran. And then I chased it down the street
like that down the street.
Just like that. Like barefoot, sweatpants, no shirt. You can just imagine. This is me in the back chasing a skunk down the street.
This is away a good from my picture. House. Yeah, got it.
That's a word picture for you right there.
Yeah, I like it. Also, I think animal activists may not like that you were throwing rocks.
Well, we didn't hit it. It was never an intention to hit it. It was really an intention to get it moving.
Got it. Okay.
Because he was kind of sitting there. Not moving. And we didn't feel we were comfortable getting any closer. And it could have been a very different story. You probably still wouldn't be coming over here.
Do you think your neighbors have any like doorbell cams that caught you running down the street?
I guarantee they do. I actually should ask the neighbor across the way if she saw me. Ah! Screen chasing this thing. I definitely know something that her camera for sure did pick up.
What?
Because it was in the daylight on Sunday.
Okay.
It was hot on Sunday, right?
Yeah, it was really warm.
Yeah, I got a little side thing going on here. Got you know, hot tub emporium going on in the driveway. Yep. And I got a few running.
Yeah, so if you want a hot tub.
If you want a hot tub, I'm your man. I'm just saying, okay? And Maddie was coming over. You guys were all coming over. Mm-hmm. So Matt was like, hey, I'm coming early. I was like, great, bring your bathing suit. We'll set in the driveway on the hot tub, because the water was, you know, not hot. It was cool water. And it was so hot. So I was like, we'll sit in there. We'll be chilling, having some bevvies when everybody shows up.
And you were.
And we were.
When I pulled up, that's where you were.
Me and Matt sitting in the driveway in the hot tub. And Eleanor was with us too.
And Alicia was sitting outside of it.
Yeah, she was just sitting in the lawn chair there, just you know.
Chilling. Yeah, I liked it. I joined her.
Having a margarita and a cool dip. Not a nice plunge, but not a hot tub either.
Okay. Interesting choice.
Lukewarm water. It's like bathtub water.
Yeah, none of that sounds appealing to me.
Absolutely. Anyways, that was kind of, you know, I think that's just what it's like to be around me. There is a level of strange.
Yep.
That's taking me.
What was I supposed to say?
Yeah, there's definitely no like, absolutely not. You're completely balanced. And
wait, let me try again. It's so normal.
What is apparent to me is I will do just about anything for a laugh.
It's true.
This week, Kate Semenek.
I know. She's returning.
She is back.
Yeah. We loved chatting with her.
Yeah.
She's a hypnotherapist.
Yeah.
Super cool. So fascinated by her work.
Just laying on the couch here, just like.
Hypnotized? Yeah, no.
Thinking I'm going to do the dishes next. I was like, what happened? I feel like I need to do the dishes.
No, you're going against everything she teaches us.
I know. That's why it's completely not like that.
No, it's like therapy, but like accelerated therapy. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, she just gets into your brain and just rearranges all that stuff.
You're not helping promote her at all.
I love her so much. She is super fun to talk to and really passionate about helping people.
Yeah.
And you are right. The stereotypes that I've just given you are not actually what hypnotherapy is.
No, it's a really cool process. So she explains that in the episode, but this time we talked more about like anxiety and fear and how to manage those kind of.
Yeah, how do you overcome that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. A lot of people, including me, I think some days struggle with anxiety and fear.
Anxiety is a normal emotion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like people experience that for like, there's reasons you have appropriate anxiety.
Yeah.
And then there's times when it's like not.
What did we hear this week?
Oh yeah, we were listening to a podcast and instead of saying
I'm anxious,
we say anxiety is here.
Yeah.
Or anger is here. Any emotion, you could replace it.
So it's a little bit more about like not identifying fully as with that emotion.
Yeah.
It's more saying, no, it just came, which also suggests it's going to go.
Yeah. You can work through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's on a journey too.
It's helpful.
Anyways. Yeah. It was really helpful.
And this episode is like that too.
Exactly. So, Kate's awesome and I hope you follow her. She does all kinds of awesome reels and different things like teaching stuff too.
Yeah. She has tons of resources on her website and YouTube channel and stuff that you can work through and learn on how to cope with like specific phobias and specific fears. And I think she talks a little bit about what she offers right now too. So,
So, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Before we jump to that though, hang around afterwards for our Patreon thing.
Yeah.
It's one of the ways that you can support kind of Unpacked financially and kind of keep us kind of rolling so we can pay even some of our fees and registration fees and all that kind of stuff that we have to do to keep a podcast alive. And so we always appreciate your support. We think we're doing something really important.
Yeah. And you can get something back if you support on Patreon.
Yeah.
There's different levels and you get benefits.
Ah, there you go. You can also, I was giving away our stances stuff. I was like, hey, follow our newsletter online.
Yeah.
So you can get a stance resource on the Enneagram. Anyways, it was one of those kind of helpful things. As always, if you can't do the Patreon thing, we sure love it when you like, share, subscribe, all that stuff. Episodes that are favorites to you and or ones that challenge you. Share them with a friend or share them on your own social media is one of the great ways of kind of getting the word out that we're doing this thing. I hope you enjoy this episode with Kate Semenik. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
We're good.
It's always fun to see someone we know.
I know. Right? And I'm following you and I'm like, you guys are so funny. Really.
Why? What did you see?
Well, you know this. You know what? It shows me that I don't know how, but the Instagram algorithm is showing me your old posts.
Oh.
Like the old challenges, the reels, you know, from like
last summer.
Like a year ago.
Yes.
That's so funny you bring up the reels and the challenges we used to do because
we found one we need to do.
Yes. We were talking about it last night. We're like, it might be time to do this.
Yeah.
We need to do that because it's so much fun. It's like I'm very, you know, like filtering everything I look on the internet, you know?
Yeah.
But like these challenges, and especially from people I know, it's like, yeah, I'm going to watch it.
You know what? It probably is a really good reminder that we need to do it more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Tara.
Yeah.
I love having return guests on.
Me too. It's so fun to catch up.
Today, and it's obvious.
Yeah.
We literally jumped on. We're 20 minutes already. Yeah. Like people are joining us at minute 21.
Right.
Because we just started right where we left off having fun talking about catching up. And so Kate Semenik is with us, registered hypnotherapist.
Yeah.
And we had we've already done an episode with you, Kate. Hi.
Hi. So happy to be here again.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to today. We're going to try to dive a little bit deeper into some things. But it is fun to see people that you know, that we've already kind of started kind of a connection with. And you do something that is just, it is so curious to me that I always want to like learn more about the brain, how it works, how it operates and all that. And we'll get into a little bit of that a little bit later, but also local to Calgary. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, true.
So the majority of our listeners can actually just see you. Mm-hmm. They can go and see you or Zoom. I do Zoom coaching stuff too. And I know you do this in Zoom as well, but it's great to have somebody that's local to Calgary on the show as well too. So
yeah. Helping people grow. Yeah.
So Kate, one of the things, and you know this, we believe in story. We believe that story is in so many ways kind of a driving force for the things that we do that we're passionate about. And as we come into whatever career it is that we come into, our story often is kind of the evidence of where our passions grew. And for sure, as I watch you on Instagram, and even as we connect and we talk about some of these things, I can see your passion to help people. And so as we get into that, can you tell us a little bit about you and a little bit about your life, just to give our listeners kind of a sense of kind of who you are?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So as you already presented, my name is Kate and I'm a hypnotherapist, and I'm so proud that I am, because my own pain from the past brought me into this industry, into this service, into this modality. And what I didn't like in the past, when I was younger, let's just say when I was 18 and 20, 22, I didn't like the statement that something takes a long time. Like, oh, it's going to take you a long time, right? And I always struggled because I didn't even try anything, because I was like, oh, that's going to take a lot of time. And I had my own anxieties, and I had depression, and I had postpartum depression, and to the point where I started to drink pretty regularly back in Ukraine. I'm originally from Ukraine. I immigrated when I was 29 to Calgary, right? Is beautiful. I have never looked back. Really, I have never had any doubts, you know, that whether I chose the right city or the right country. At 29, my husband told me that something needs to change. Something needs to change. And otherwise, we are moving. I don't know what's going to happen with you, and eventually in the relationship, right? And in the family. So when we immigrated and we came to Canada, what happened is my main primary needs were met, right? The need for food, shelter, right? Protection, safety. And then naturally you grow and you start to meet other needs. And that's when I started to realize that, oh, there's a little baggage that I brought from Ukraine. And not just my three suitcases, right? But at the same time, the baggage. And so because I didn't like long treatments, I started to look for something rapid. And that's how I came across the rapid transformational therapy. And this was my first encounter with meditations. This was my first encounter with going inwards, finding the answers within yourself. And when I tried it for myself, I was, yes, I want to do that. I want to do that with people. And after that, really just unfolding, just like a snowball that keeps rolling out, because when you do what you love, the universe just leads you. And yeah, so for 2 years now, I'm practicing hypnotherapy with clients, and my niche is fears, phobias, and anxiety and panic attacks. So this little kind of a little but very painful snowball as well. I find that every client that comes to me comes with anxiety, whether they come for weight loss, whether they come for addiction, whether they come for depression, they come with anxiety. And that's why I decided, like, wow, it's really a fascinating ability of our mind to jump into the future and all the time, you know, and worry about what's going to happen.
So what I just heard you say was that a lot of like, so was there a sense of comfort in the fact that what you were working through, well, your own anxiety, your own like depression, all those other things that you've kind of listed, that here you are, clients are starting to come to you, and they're coming to you with some of the same like thematic things are coming up.
Exactly. Yeah. What I noticed is when I go into the session and I sit right beside the client, it's like my own healing as well. It's like you listen to the story. Every story is different. Have never had a client with some similar stories. Mm-mm. It's like imagine you're a detective in Calgary, but each story, each case is so unique. that the symptoms, the manifestations of the symptoms, of the beliefs, of the thoughts in their body or in their mind is unique and tailored to them. And that's what I like. And I was sitting with them and I was like, wow, this so resonates. That's exactly how I felt when I was 28. This is exactly how I felt 2 months ago. This is exactly what happened, right? So maybe the story is different, but the thought is the same.
Yeah. Well, and I definitely have seen, just even in our last conversation, but even this conversation, that one of the things that you seem to be quite gifted at is curiosity, is that you seem to have a very curious mind.
Yeah. You know, in the last year, I don't know what modality I haven't tried on myself. I'm like, oh, let's do this. Let's do aura reading. Let's do this type of hypnotherapy. Let's do this. Like, actually, it helps a lot because every single thing you try is bringing you a little key. The last modality, by the way, that I've tried was the game, the psychological game that is combined with the spirituality. And it's called Leela. That's from India. It's the game of knowledge. The game of self-knowledge. And it's a beautiful game. It really shifts your perspective, you know, on the world and on yourself. Yeah, I know.
Interesting.
Have you ever heard about that?
Never.
No.
No. Can you say the word again for us?
Leela. Leela. L-E-E-L-A. Leela. Yeah. As a name. Yeah. As a name. Yeah. Yes. The game was recreated from the ancient books, you know, so there were two people who were translating the books in order to bring that game to life. And I thought it's just going to be a fun game. Well, at the end, I was crying. And in the end, I was like, wow, I didn't even think about this and this. So a beautiful game of self-knowledge and of healing, really just looking into the answers within you. So very, very resonates with what I'm doing. Beautiful. Oh, there was a girl who came from Ukraine, you know, she immigrated as well, and she is the guide for this game. And she offered, you know, she offered in the community, in the local community, and we just like, yes, let's do it. So if we bring it back to curiosity, is curious mind is when you let go of any expectations. That's the best. Like, if you want to overcome anxiety, and it's to everyone who is listening, when you switch the expectation into curiosity. So it's like, I wonder how it's going to turn out. That's the question. Not what if, oh, what if, or what if this, but it's like, I'm waking up and I'm wondering how it's going to turn out.
Yeah. It's funny. I took a course this, like in January, February, on leading clearness committees, which is like a group of people who come around a particular person who's working through a decision or a difficult time in their life or whatever. And they essentially listen to the individual, share a little bit of the details of that. And then they ask open-ended questions. And the definition of an open-ended question, according to this tradition, is it's like a question that you don't know the answer to. So it's like, and the question asker is simply asking the questions to serve the focal person, the person in the middle. So it's not about, you know, if I'm a question asker, it's not about Evan finding out the information about the person so I can ask another question. It's actually about asking a question so they can hear their own answer.
Mm-hmm. This
and
is so interesting.
It is. It's a fascinating thing. And I had a chance to be a part of several of them in the class. And it is, there is something mysterious that happens when a community of people create, like make space for someone to work through what they're going through, what they're experiencing. And it really is about listening to, like, what is your inner voice saying, and acknowledging that actually your interior life has all the answers you need. You just got to figure out how to draw them out, you know, in a way. And we're typically, we can help other people do that, but we usually are really bad at doing that alone. So we do need community and others to help us to do it. So whether that's just with, you know, a hypnotherapist, a coach, a counselor, or even a larger group of people. One of the things we have consistently found with our counseling friends and psychologist friends is they almost consistently come back to the two ways you grow are self-awareness and community. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those two things. You learn these things about yourself and start identifying them, and you have a safe place to practice them. When you can do those two things, you can start to experience freedom. And that's so fascinating. We're looking that up.
Yeah, we totally are.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you know what? You are going to be my first players.
Okay. Yeah.
There you go. Hey, Tara.
Hey.
You know, life happens.
Oh, does it?
And there are sometimes when it feels like it might come over you.
Totally.
And you it's either grow or die.
That was dark.
I know. I went dark there, right?
But for real, it feels like that sometimes, the hopelessness or the loneliness that comes with that.
Yeah, exactly. That's a little bit of what I do with people in coaching, and in particular in group coaching.
Yeah? Like what?
Most of my clients end up coming to group coaching because they're kind of in a season of transition, or they really want to learn something new and kind of get out of kind of the rut they're in, or the stuckness they're in. And so they come to group coaching because they're looking for something that's cost effective and has a component of community.
Why is that important?
I think that community is this place, it's the space where you can practice a little bit. And so group coaching provides this opportunity for you to learn about the Enneagram as a tool for growth and transformation, and hear it from some of the other perspectives, the other types. So doing it together with people who are committed, like-minded people who are committed to growth, but in the context of understanding the different layers of the Enneagram, can be one of the most helpful ways to find yourself moving out of that stuck place.
That sounds really helpful. Are you doing another one, or how can people get involved?
My next group coaching session starts on October the 4th, actually. And we're taking registrations right now. And you can check that out at unpackedpod.ca/coaching. You can DM me at Recess Creek on Instagram. If you've been listening to the podcast and you're curious about how each type is motivated, how maybe your instinctual stacking works, or your stances, or even some of those key questions that you could be asking yourself in your stuckness, this is absolutely going to be for you.
That's amazing. What do you get, and how much is it?
Okay, so you get all those things in the context of a Zoom call. So you can be anywhere.
In the whole world.
As long as you know when Mountain Standard Time is, which we're learning, not everybody does.
Time zones are hard.
You can join us on Zoom at 7 o'clock, starting our first session is October the 4th. Of course, we want you to register today and get your name on that list, because there is going to be limited supply. The cost is $235. And there's some goodies in there.
Like what?
You get some printouts, you get some actual worksheets that you can look at and understand. Obviously, I'm pushing the podcast to be listening to our Everyday Enneagram series. And I also give discounted individual coaching sessions. This is a cost-effective way, actually, for you to learn the layers of the Enneagram in the context of a community and have access to these discounted one-on-one coaching sessions if you got something that you really want to work through that you're not quite ready to talk about with the group.
I love that. Yeah. It's coming up fast. People need to sign up.
They got to sign up. So check it out. unpackedpod.ca/coaching. And I'll see you there.
Can you maybe just describe for people kind of like what your practice is like? Like if someone comes to see you, what is the experience of what happens in the room with you, and what do they have to come in with, and those kind of things?
They come in approximately for 2 hours. And in these 2 hours, the first 15 minutes, we usually define what do they want. Very often, they don't know what they want. For example, I don't want to be anxious. I was like, well, what does that mean for you, not to be anxious? And they're like, oh, I don't know. Have never been there. So I don't remember how it is to be not anxious. And it's like, okay, then let's define it. imagine you don't have it. So really creating that picture without the problem, how your life like would be without this physical symptom. What would be available to you? Or without this mental symptom? What would be available for you? What doors will open for you? What will you be able to do that you cannot do now? So when we create that picture, they love it. They already start to realize, wow, if I can create it in my mind, I can create it in reality. Because everything is created twice. First in the mind, then in the reality. So when they start to visualize it, they already raise their vibrations, right? They're already like, oh, yes, get excited about the process. And I explain to them the journey. I always call it, it's the journey. So hypnotherapy session, the RTT session is the journey. First, we go into the relaxed state. People get very fascinated at how aware they are. They believe that they're coming to me for a nap. You know, like, am I going to be sleeping and just you're going to be telling me all of these good suggestions? I'm like, no, there is a lot of work we're going to do together. So I become a guide for that person. I'm not giving them any suggestions that they don't want. I'm not leading them to the answers that I want them to understand. Just going with them. We're going into regression in a detective work where they investigate what happened. What happened? But that's not everything, because when we are leaving that at that, oh yeah, we keep bringing ourselves into the past all the time. So it's very important in the hypnotherapy session is to bring them to the present again. Okay, so you watched the past, you looked at what beliefs you formed, and now we're going to change those beliefs. Now you're going to talk to your subconscious mind, and you're going to tell your subconscious mind that you're not 5, and you're not 4, and you're not 8, and you're not 9, and you don't have to come up with these symptoms anymore. So we find the reason, the root, but at the same time, the role, why the symptom is still there. Our symptoms are the messages, you know, it's like messengers. Listening to them is so important. When we see the symptom as something to eliminate, to extract, even to heal, no, you need to listen. And then the healing comes naturally. You listen, oh, this is what you're going to tell me. Whether it's a physical symptom, whether it's a mental, emotional symptom. We all listen. And after all of that work in the session, I make them the recording. And the recording has everything they want. All of these beautiful phrases that were expressed in their words. And I put that into the recording. They listen to it for 21 days to program the mind. To program the mind for the permanent result. Mind loves what's familiar. You know, we're so smart. Have you noticed how smart we are logically? We know everything. Oh, you need to let go. Yeah, I need to let go. Oh, yes, I just need to let go and just trust the universe. And when it comes to really the situation, the challenge and the stressful situation.
We don't let go.
Who cares about letting go?
Yeah.
Like, no, hold on to the control. Let's try to find scenarios. Let's predict, require, expect. And so that because subconscious mind will win 10 out of 10 if we don't talk to it and we don't program it the way we want it. It's going to win. The less aware we are, the more subconscious mind is going to override. The less aware we are, the more subconscious mind is going to talk.
Okay. So here we are. So now... I got a question for you. Maybe it's a little personal question. We'll see how it goes. Part of what we really wanted to talk to you about today was like how do people work through fear, anxiety? Like what are some of the key ways? And I think you just gave us a little tip. It's interesting because and this is, you know, relatively recent story for me, but somebody told me something that they were kind of going through. And it's somebody I love, and it was so interesting to me how quickly I could come up with the worst, like how bad this could get. And it was like, you know, the scenario just got worse and worse and worse in my mind. And I knew it. I knew it was happening. And I even told my wife, I was like, I can spin this so quickly down a very scary road. and I can't stop it. It feels like I can't stop it. I'm going there. You know what I mean? Right. And
yeah. And that happens, Evan, just not to lose the thought that I'm having, because you started to talk about how fast I'm spiraling right down that Paramount Pictures movie, the horror, right? The episode number 243, right? But anyway, it happens when you forget you're thinking. You forget that you are thinking. So what happens? Imagine you are looking at the pool. And that pool is the water, right? And that pool is the your thoughts. And you're looking at them and you're like, I did a little bit of a dirty here. That's okay, you know, a little bit. But you're looking at it. You're not stepping into the pool. When you are starting to feel anxiety and spiral down the negative catastrophizing scenarios, you jumped into the pool and you forgot your thinking. What happens when we forget we are thinking? You start to actually relieve that experience. So if you actually that happens, you're not going to feel worse. You already relieve it every single day with that catastrophizing scenario that you're already relieving it every day. And when the clients come to me, I was like, what are you afraid of? Well, that I'm going to, you know, be rejected, and then I'm not going to be loved and everyone will leave me. I'm going to be alone. And I was like, well, you probably are in that pain anyway, every day. I was like, no, I'm just kind of worried about that. I was like, that's the same. When you are
thinking about something,
you're already relieving every experience. When clients come to me and say, I'm afraid to be hypnotized because I'm afraid to be regressed and relieve the experience. And I tell them, you already do that every single day. Let's do it once again. But then we kind of resolve it. It's like, what, you know what you're doing, Evan? It's like, not you, but all of us, when we are catastrophizing. Yeah. When it's like going to the dentist, and the dentist is telling you, you know what, Kate, you need your wisdom tooth to be extracted. But we're not going to do that in one day. You're going to come to us every Friday, probably every Monday and Friday, and we're going to do it a little bit. We're going to pull it and pull it and pull without any painkillers. No. And we're going to pull it and pull it the same. We are relieving that experience. So when clients ask me, I'm just so afraid, I was like, well, you've already lived it every single day. It's not going to be worse. Yeah. We forget we are thinking. So we step into our thoughts and identify ourselves with our mind. So the biggest skill that people who want to break free from fears, anxieties, and panic attacks, they need to be able to look at themselves, look at the mind, and be able to not attach to it. Yeah. Like the thought is coming in and you're like, wow, that's an interesting thought. Wow, my mind is so creative.
Yeah.
It's like separating yourself from it.
Yeah. Exactly.
Interesting. Okay. It's fascinating that she would use a dentist.
I know.
Example.
I have some literally some trauma around removing wisdom teeth, and I had to go back four times individually that then led to my autoimmune diagnosis. So I was like, whoa. And also you said something about the fear of like abandonment. And I was like, I've said nothing. And those are both things in my life.
It was like, while you were giving your examples, just to light it up a little bit, I was like, wow, she thinks she's talking to me and she just pushed Tara in the pool.
It's so true.
I don't know why, but I just...
No, we're not going to get it. We're definitely leaving it. I was like, Tara's drowning over here in her trauma.
Else, did you want to talk about perfectionism and shame and fear of the unknown? I'm there for all of it.
I think this is what's so fascinating about it. Actually, I'm really glad that we just had a really good laugh about that.
Yeah.
Because in so many ways, this is one of the things I think people miss. Even when people come to me for coaching, I'm assuming even I was feeling this even when I was like, if I go try this with Kate, this is going to be scary. This is going to be so hard. This is going to make me miserable. This is going to, you know, like you just described, bring up all the worst things. And one of the things that I've observed is that growth, healing work can also be done in a quite a free environment. that it actually can relieve the stress and the anxiety by giving it a name, by saying, this is what's happening here. And I think that's exactly what you were just kind of describing. It's going, no, it really is just like, how do I divide out my thinking from my feeling and recognize you're already, you don't want to do the thing because it's going to make you feel bad, but you're actually,
like, you already feel bad.
I appreciate your point. That's actually, no, you're already living in that feeling. We just call it stress or anxiety or fear or, you know, whatever, PTSD even.
And we think we have to live in that.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't go away. I think that's what's interesting about what you just said, is observing it versus like, oh, I'm stuck in this. Like, it'll always be the case. I'll always experience stress around these things, or I'll always worry about the people I love leaving. But it doesn't actually have to be that way.
No, it's another myth. You know, I'm always going to be worried about people that I love. First of all, when we are thinking about that, and that's my thoughts as well. I look at my children, right? And I always like, and if I allow my mind to step into that, oh, I would see so many different pictures. It's going to be, you know, I don't know if Universal Pictures can make that, what I can make in my mind if I let it, you know? So it's, if I let it, and then I bring myself back and I was like, but you're not with them right now. You're not in the moment. So technically, by worrying, I'm missing all of these minutes spent with my kids. So it's like, no, 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 no. I'm just going to go and hug them, or I'm going to go and, you know, do the gratitude. And I'm so grateful for every single moment that I spent with them. So even if something happens, I know I spent and I appreciated those moments. Because sometimes we lose loved ones, like our parents pass away just by generations. Some people we love, they're getting older. And then we feel like, oh, the only thing we regret is that shouldn't have talked to them like that, or shouldn't have said that, they're not there anymore, you know? So really, gratitude, being in the moment, will bring you back from catastrophizing thoughts and intrusive thoughts. That gratitude only happens in the moment. Gratitude never happens in the past or in the future. Anxiety, it's their place.
It's funny you'd say that, because one of the things, like with my work with the Enneagram, some of the work that we talk about is, what's our orientation to time? And there are three types on the Enneagram who focus a little bit more on the past. There are three types that focus predominantly on the present. And then there are three that focus oftentimes on the future. And what's fascinating, this is just kind of what occurred to me, is that typically you see your dominant orientation to time in stress. So when you start to get stressed, you become far more hyper, if you're past oriented, far more focused on your past experiences. If you're a present person, it is a stress around the immediate thing. And the futurists, honestly, the futurists escape. It's a form of escapism. So they think about the future, because the future, in my case, I am a futurist. And when I start to experience extreme levels of stress, I'll dream a utopic future. And what I've discovered about myself is, when I do that, that oftentimes I am dreaming a future without pain in it, which deep down I know isn't real. Like, the pain is a part of life. It is one of the things that we experience and we do. But what is interesting is, when I sense that I am doing that, then I can start to ask myself, what am I trying to avoid right now in the present? And it doesn't mean I can't use the gift of dreaming in the future. That is a gift I have. But knowing what's behind it, what it's rooted in. And I would say the same is true for stress or anxiety. Like, there are periods of time when we experience stress in our life, and we should. It's stressful, right? Like, even some of the examples you gave, you know, the loss of a loved one, the job interview that's coming, that, like, all of those things, like, in my past career, I used to do a lot of public speaking. There would be lots of moments when I'd be like, wow, I am stressed this morning. I'm anxious this morning. Mm-hmm. And I was often, you know, in my latter years, able to go, why is that? Why am I stressed this morning? I wasn't stressed last Sunday morning. Oh, it's actually because I think I'm going to say something. I believe I need to say something that's really important. And my stress actually became more of an energy to go, to be more attentive to how and what words I would use to talk about this important thing. So in that sense, that the, and I'm not talking big stress, I'm talking micro stress. That was a helpful way for me to go, no, this is important. Now, when it starts to get out of control, which it has also in my life, that's right, then I find myself going, what do I need to do to get out of the stress? And then I'll start doing the futurist thing. I'm going to think about the future, mm-hmm. escapism and some of those kinds of things. It's kind of an interesting thing that you would talk about it like that, because I think it really is about how do we name the thing? Like, how do we separate out the emotion from the head? And then I would add in the third center of intelligence is then what is it that we do with that? You know, how do we bring these three centers together?
Beautiful. Like the less aware you are of your thoughts, the more anxious you will be. The less aware you are of your feelings and emotions, the more suppressed you're going to be. You know, like you're going to suppress it, right? You're not aware of it. Oh, I never cry. Those mom, you know, those clients, right? I never cry, or I haven't been really feeling any emotions. Being able to observe the thoughts is gaining full control over your mind. The only control, and we're going to talk right now about the fear of the future and the fear of uncertainty. Because when we have fear of uncertainty and we have fear of the future, we believe that we can control what's going to happen. And so when the clients come to me with that problem, I'm just afraid how it's going to turn out. I'm just afraid if that deal is going to go through. I'm just afraid about the money. I'm just afraid about the health. I'm afraid about my health. I just want to know what's going to happen. And I tell him, who gave you this power? Who do you think you are to have that power to know the future? You don't have that power. You're going against the current. So the flow goes, and imagine you're going against, go to our rivers in Rockies and go against the current. Go try to do that. You're going against life. You're turning your head against, like going on a highway and turning and going right in the opposite direction. That's what it is when we try to control the future, to know the future, and to predict the future, and to predict the uncertain, to make life certain. That's a big power. And when I tell them that, it's a little bit, they are taken aback. Oh, Kate is so direct, you know, but they need it. They need to hear that. Who gave you that power to know what's going to happen in the future? No one.
Yeah, well, I might have just needed it.
So I was like, my question actually feels like, okay, but then what? Like, no.
Okay. Then what? Then the inner peace. Then the inner peace. So something that we really, because we so want to feel harmony. Yeah, we're going to be stressed, but you're going to come down from the stress really fast. Right? Have you ever driven on the road and there's like this car that really like nearly bumps into you? The heart goes in. A normal anxiety, normal fear that is going to save you. That's it. And by the time you put on the music and then you drive again, you're like, yeah, everything's good. That's how it's going to happen, right? That's usually how it happens. Or, you know, your child runs and nearly bumps, you know, into something and you're like, you're going to have this like normal. It's a normal anxiety. normal level of anxiety, and you come back. The ability to respond and go back into the inner peace. Respond and to go back. You know, that's a really, really nice skill. But when people ask me, okay, well, if I don't know what's going to happen then, like, how can I plan my life? I was like, planning doesn't mean controlling the future. Planning is, I will write down these, but if it's not going to work out, fine. I'll have so many other options. Obsessing about the certain outcome, the certain result, that creates a lot of tension. A lot of tension. That's an opposite of the harmony and inner peace that we want. And only in the inner peace, in that calm state, the healing happens naturally without you even needing to do anything. You don't even have to come to see me or a psychologist. As you bring yourself back to inner peace, the healing is happening there by default, because we are programmed for well-being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
You cut your finger, right? And then you put a Band-Aid, and the next morning you open up and it's healed. Go cut the steak, the raw steak. Go cut it. Will it heal? No. Because it's just a piece of meat. And, you know, very often people believe that we are just bones and muscles and you know. No, we're not. We are programmed for healing, programmed for well-being. So when you come back and you let go of any hold onto the future, onto the certainty, you find out, wow, this just feels so good. I want more of that. not knowing what's going to happen, but feeling so good inside.
So sometimes, like, what just came to mind, and I'll ask the question, I think I know what you're going to say, but what do we say to people who then go, okay, well, I'm just going to be at peace and I'm just going to let everything happen. So where does ambition work in to that? Like, how do we use our ambition to work towards, and how do you work with your clients to help them to access their ambition, you know, go for the thing. Even when it doesn't feel like it's going with the flow. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, because the opposite of, right, like the opposite, there's like people probably like me who are like over planning and over controlling. And then there's other people who are like not able to action.
Yeah, they can't get going.
Right.
First, people need to define what is their ambition and what is not their ambition. First, am I doing it because I need to prove something, or I need to, is it my dream or is it someone else's dream? So that's the first thing, right? Because when you do something that is your dream, ambition feels like natural. It's organic. It's like, it's light. It's like, yeah, it feels good. When ambition is like, when the dream is not yours, when the goal is imposed by social expectations, standards, some programs, family programs, all, then it feels like a lot of work. You have to force yourself to do that. Ambition is, as you said, ambition is in the third chakra, right? Here, right? And so it happens is, if it's deficient, it's slow. So we often feel like if I slow down, it means I'm lazy. I'm not going to do anything. If I'm letting go, it means that everything will fall apart. Well, that's a belief. That's a mental belief. And working on this mental belief, you know, if I let go, if I trust the universe, it doesn't mean you don't do anything. But the actions come easily. The action come easily. So if the chakra is overworking, spins, that energy center spins a lot, that's our overachievers. Perfectionists that break down around the age of 50, you know, they break down really physically because they cannot hold that role anymore. It's too hard to play a role, you know, of a perfect child, or to play a role of
the carer or to play a role. I have to do it all. No one else will do that for me. So it's either a very, very fast, which is you're very ambitious, and then you always climb the mountain and you're like, yes, if I'm going to climb that mountain, I'm going to be happy. And they climb the mountain. It's like, shit.
Not happy.
Not that happy. Right? Because it's never enough. So it's never enough. So there is no that feeling of where is enough.
This is exactly what I was going to point out. I was like, this is one of those moments again, we've talked about this in other episodes where I wish people could see you. Because you literally just came alive.
Yeah, yeah. And absolutely, right? So the third chakra, when it is balanced, what does that mean? Balanced means I trust the universe and I do what I love. When I trust the universe, I'm in the moment, I'm accepting what is. For example, I need to post something on social media. Do I like it? I'm not a fan of it. But because I'm in the present and I kind of like, yes, it's something that will bring me the result. I don't have to force myself to do that. Just doing it. Because in the moment, everything feels light. Nothing is like really heavy. So the balanced third chakra, the chakra of action, the chakra of ambition, the chakra of your speed, you know, of your goals, of your boundaries, personal boundaries as well. The chakra of confidence. Confidence is the trust. Confidence is the trust. And trust is one of the hardest skill. We were born with trust. We just forgot it a little bit. We forget. And we take a huge responsibility on ourselves that is not our responsibility, which is to control. And that's when we lose that trust. Because controlling means I don't trust that everything will work out. Mm-hmm. So it's not about where is ambition, right? How do I? It's about beliefs. When I trust the universe, it doesn't mean I'm lazy. It doesn't mean I'm not ambitious. Right? I still have beautiful things that I love to do. But if you don't do anything that you love in a day, well, that's the question. That's another question. Let's talk about that. Where did you go off the path? Where and why did you start to not do what you love? You know how people work in jobs that they don't like. They ask, how can I fall in love with what I do? I was like, do you love your job? No, I hate it. Well, you know, let's talk about that. So how did you become, for example, a lawyer that you hate your job? When did you remember the time when you were happy in your job? No, yeah, I was kind of excited because it paid good money, but never really happy. So did you want to be a lawyer? Or was it a social expectation? Was it a control system? A pendulum? Look, what was there that you decided to be a lawyer that you don't like right now? And they realize, oh, I always wanted to be a teacher. Always wanted to work with children. But you know what? I'm 47. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. It's never too late. And you know, these people have the most strongest understanding and insight as soon as they make that decision. And they go back on their path. Everything, it doesn't feel forced. The ambitions, the actions, the goals, it doesn't feel forced.
Yeah, I love that. I think that that's one of those, we would call them all kinds of moments, but we could call it an aha moment.
Yeah.
Right. Or a turning point moment where you start to see and recognize what you were made for and what you've been doing. Mm-hmm. And maybe the next part of what to do about that becomes actually quite easy once you realize what's been holding you back.
Have you ever seen the interviews? You definitely have seen the interviews with Warren Buffett, you know, one of the wealthiest people on, I think he had this interview. I think it's an open access on YouTube. And then someone asked him, like, how do you, like, there were so many decisions that you had to make in your life. Like, how did it go? Like, why, like, how about your fears? You know, fears that you're going to lose everything. Fears that you're going to lose everything. And it's like, I knew I would invest at 12 years old. I knew that. I loved it so much that I said no to everything that didn't align with this industry. So I said no to everything that doesn't align with this. So, and that's what's big insight for me, an aha moment. Wow. Being able to say no to the things that don't align with what you want for yourself. Ah, wow. Like, because I'm going to be doing here a little bit. I'm going to go to garden a little bit, and I'm going to go to, and my focus of attention is 25 things in a day. Being able to say no is strong, right? Say no to everything that doesn't align with your vision.
Yeah. I have a couple of questions. The first one is maybe more of a comment. It's interesting because we do pre-interviews with a lot of our guests. And because we just want to find out if they're crazy, you know, or not. Like, do we really?
Well, and we don't get to interact with everybody on social media or follow people. So, you know.
See, there's Tara trying to cover up. Really, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make sure, is this person a wing nutter? What's happening?
And sometimes we get it wrong.
And yeah, sometimes we do. But we did a pre-interview. I think we did a pre-interview with you. Actually, I do think so. We were just making sure, is this hypnosis thing like crazy? Well, what's up this about? But what is fascinating, and we just did one just before we got on the call with you. And I found myself asking him about his story. And in so many ways, you know, the people that we have on that come on to Unpacked to talk about, we want to hear the story. How did you become this professional? How did you become passionate about this thing or that thing, or even the fact that you're doing your own podcast? Why are you passionate about doing your own podcast? And what has occurred to me is that in so many ways, the guests that end up on our podcast with us are people that can name exactly what you just described, that they are going and they are going and they are doing the thing that they love. Mm-hmm. And that gives them purpose. And they've said no to a lot of other things along the way. And it is true. Occasionally people get through our pre-interview and end up on a show, and you start to realize, this person is just like, they're trying to tell us about their profession as if it's this is the thing I do from 9 till 5. And then I don't think about it anymore. And it's an interesting thing because you, even if they don't say those exact words, you can hear it. Mm-hmm. You can tell when somebody is doing something that they're not passionate about.
Yes, you can, because we are all connected on some level. You have we are like, you know, the network, right? You can feel it. Even you probably, if you listen to your body, even before the interview, you might also find the answers, a lot of answers. Yeah, sometimes when I do sessions with my clients, I started the Reiki course last fall because I started to feel they're getting nauseous, you know, a little bit. People, especially for people who it's hard for them to let go, right? They might, in the induction part of the hypnosis, they might feel like, oh, I don't want to let go of that control, you know. But having control is being able to let it go and take it back. Let it go and take it back. So my control is, I can trust you, Evan, or you can trust you, Tara. I can give my control a little bit to you, and I can take it back when I want to. That's the biggest control. Being able to let go of that control and to bring it back.
Love it.
Because when you really hold it onto the control, well, you have no control. Because if you have control, give it a little bit and be back, you know, be able to kind of be flexible around it.
Yeah. And when I started to feel the people's feelings, right, I started to understand that, wow, we are so connected, so connected. The people who turn, who show up on your podcast, they also have something in common because you attract the people that you want to see on a podcast.
Yeah, you do.
And I had instances when I didn't listen to my body and mind and soul. And I ended up with a client that were not aligned. That happens as well. And I knew that. After that, I was like, ah, I had it. I had that feeling. Just didn't listen to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. I love it.
But being able to say no has been one of the hardest things that happened in the last 2 years when I opened my practice. Say no to so many things. Oh, opportunity here, or a little opportunity. No, it's not about that. It's not about that. Being able to say no to so many things was a little bit overwhelming. When you start to feel have this fear of missing out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, now you're speaking my language. Okay. So. It's a fascinating thing that you just brought that up. And as we kind of wrap up the conversation here, even a little bit, I just want to like point this out that my personality type, I'm an Enneagram type 7. I kind of have a fear of like experiencing psychological and emotional pain. That's something I live in. When we talk centers of intelligence, I actually live in the fear triad. So there is a, and it even took me a long time to even say, no, a lot of what happens out of, comes from me, is motivated out of a space of fear. And being able to name that was very freeing. Less fearful, because I knew what it was. I was able to, exactly like what we've talked about. And it's interesting because when it comes to me, for me, I'm known as the enthusiast. I love to have lots of options. I love when things are different and I can change. Each day I can experience something different and new and all those kind of things. I get really energized by that. When it comes time to make a decision, important decisions about, you know, what it's time to do, I think less about the thing I know I need to do and more about the things I won't be able to do if I choose that thing. Like, what am I going to lose in the 7 other options that I have out there?
There is a fear of regret. Like, mine doesn't like regrets. Like feeling, you know, guilt a little bit, like blame on ourselves. It doesn't like it. It's going to run away from it. So in your mind, there's a little like conflict. The mind is like, we don't want to miss because what if we do? Because your mind loves to create scenarios, right? And if we do miss that opportunity, oh, we're going to regret it. And that's painful. Oh, that's pain? Oh, let's run away from it. So let's keep you in doubt all the time. Let's keep you in this moment, you know? I remember that, and I still sometimes have this moment of doubt, you know? Like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It's like it's this feeling, and my husband usually like, oh, you zoned out, because I zone out in that moment, right? I was like, oh, come back and make a decision, because there is a million infinite amount of lifelines that you can step into. That's the most beautiful part. So if you say no to something that doesn't align with what you want, remember that you're stepping into one of infinite amount of incredible lifelines. Don't think that your life is going to be like this and that's it. That's the only option they have. No. We step into the lifeline every single day, into a different lifelines based on our decisions. But it doesn't mean that only one is beautiful. There are infinite variations of your life. They're going to be beautiful. And knowing that, you're like, oh, there's an abundance of options.
You know, it's funny that you'd use the word regret, because I wouldn't, it's until you said, well, that's regret. I was like, oh, I definitely do make a lot of decisions out of a like an unconscious, you know, hope that I won't have regrets.
Yes.
Right. And that I'll that I've done all the things or tried all the things. And really it is a part of the story that we do have that. And even when I think about, you know, leaving my last occupation, so much of the planning into my resignation and like the time before I actually left the position was very much about, no, on the 31st of May, I want to know that I have done everything that I can to offer myself and to serve well. I don't want to have regrets in that. And it's interesting because then I went through that period of time. And then as the months, you know, weeks and months, like lots of months followed, then I had a different set of regrets that I had. Maybe I had identified they were there and I was like, no, I'm okay to live with those regrets, just not these ones. And I think that that is one of those kind of interesting things. I still think I did it well. I think I did it the way that I best knew how to survive the experience personally. And, but I would say I was working towards a no regrets situation that isn't real. That actually is not real. I was going to have regrets any way I looked at it. And, but I still actually stand by the decision I made. I actually do think it was the right decision. But it had to get pretty bad. It had to get pretty bad before I make the decision even.
Regret is a color. It's going to be there all the time if it's there. So no matter what decision you're going to make, no matter what lifeline you're going to step into or like what, how your life is going to unfold, if the regret is there, it's like your best friend, you know, not like Tara. Tara is an amazing friend. Yeah, yeah. But like, you know,
no,
this
she's
invisible.
Like a heavy collar. It's just like, it's getting tighter and tighter.
You better watch it.
Yeah. But this kind of invisible best friend, right? That is always going to be there. Like always going to be no matter what decisions you make. First, with regrets, in order to release regrets once and for all, again, we come to this same issue that we talked throughout the podcast is who told you that if you did another decision, it would be okay? Like, when did you take that power to be a fortune teller? Like, oh, if I made that decision, my life is going to be, it would have been better. No one knows that. And you don't know that. You're just based on the stories, you know, you might have unfolded that. But again, regrets happen when we think that we know what could have happened.
I agree. Yeah. And what it's funny because I'll tell my clients this oftentimes. It's like, well, that's a lie. That's a lie. But if you believe it, it's real. As long as you believe it, it's real, even though it's a lie.
Yeah. Everything, every pain you feel emotionally, it's the lie that you tell to yourself. So every time you feel a little worry, a little down feeling, a little sadness, it's the lie. Again, catch the thought. It's the lie that you tell to yourself. The soul loves, like if something is true, you won't hurt.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. We're kind of wrapping up. What have we left out?
Do you have any like practices or things people could do at home? And then we can talk a little bit about like how they get in touch with you, but anything that you could give people even today?
Yeah.
The recent practice that I was given a couple of my recent clients, and I found it myself, that people forget the gratitude. Forget. They kind of do it maybe in the morning, you know, maybe sometimes in the evening, but then we're tired, we go to bed and we forget. So I told some of my clients, you download the app that is reminding you to drink water every hour. You know, that one that shows you the little glass of water, you know, beeps really annoyingly sometimes if you put this sound on. And so you install it. From 6 a.m. if you wake up at 6 a.m., if it's 7 a.m., 7 a.m., till 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. until you go to bed, you might not see it because you might work for 4 hours or 8 hours, but when you see your phone, when you open your phone, you see that glass, gratitude, gratitude. You're going to see how your life is going to shift in like less than a week. And then you start to forget about those catastrophizing and intrusive thoughts because now you're kind of more wrapped up in like, What do I need? What is the situation for? You know? So gratitude is amazing. So it's like reminding yourself every hour. That's first. Second, releasing that imaginary power that we can tell the future or we can have any control over life. The only way you can have control over your life is when you are in control of your mind. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Yeah. Great. So Kate, how do people get in touch with you? What's the way they do that?
So they can find me on my website, Hypnotherapy Calgary. If they Google it, they will be able to find me on Google Maps and on the internet. As I said, as we already talked, I'm active on the social media. They can find me on Instagram, on LinkedIn, on Facebook, and on YouTube. Just Google Kate Semenyuk Hypnotherapist and it's probably will pop up.
Yeah, you got lots of stuff out there and lots of helpful tips on lots of things. So yeah, it's not just a come in and one of the things I love about your videos is that it isn't just come and see me. Mm-hmm. It's also here's a gift I can give you. Yeah. In the meantime, even. But I appreciate that. I do.
Thank you.
Hey, thank this you. Has been great. It's always great. It's always so fun to get to see you and chat with you.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Have a good one.
Bye. Bye, guys.
Hey, thanks for joining us. If this episode or the podcast has been helpful to you in any way, it would mean so much to us if you would take just 30 seconds to do one or all of these three things. First, follow or subscribe to the Unpacked podcast. This helps you never miss an episode and it goes right to your device. And it helps us so more people can find it too. To do this, head to the show page on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Then just look for the follow or the plus sign and click it. It's so important to us and it would mean so much. And hey, while you're there, if you'd be willing to give us a review, preferably 5-star, and share an episode with a friend that you found helpful, we would be so grateful. We are so, so grateful for this little online community. And if you're looking for more ways to support or exclusive content, you can head to our Patreon account and you can find that in the link in our bio. Again, thanks for listening.